are at odds with each other. I want you to think about where they're living. They are two really rich guys living in a foreign country. And so if they're going to fight amongst themselves, this is a great opportunity for their enemies that are surrounding them to swoop in and take advantage of them. And so Abraham takes the initiative to come to Lot, his nephew, and says, "Let not your herdsmen and my herdsmen fight. Let us not fight, for we are brethren." Abraham recognized the danger of there being infighting in his family in enemy territory. We have to understand that we live in enemy territory. And if there's infighting amongst us, it presents an opportunity to be ambushed. One of the things that I have been taught from different people in different places is if your enemy is going to fight with themselves, the best thing to do is sit back and watch. And that's sometimes all that Satan has to do. And so we need to think about being brethren in enemy territory. Solomon in Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all time, and a brother is born for adversity." When I used to read that, I thought that was kind of like, you know, the fact that my kid brother came in the world and we started fighting. He was born for us to fight. But that's not the idea. The idea is this. I could pick on my little brother. My little brother could pick at me. But what do you think happened when somebody else picked on my little brother? Now I had to deal with both of us. And so together, we would stand against whoever that was. That's the idea. That, yeah, a friend loves at all times. But when the chips are down, your brother is the one who's going to stand beside you and fight. And so that's what I want us to think about. Have you ever heard the phrase, blood is thicker than water? The way it appears in English for us, it's really old. But the way it appears in English is attributed to a guy who was a naval captain. And his brother was being held hostage on another ship. And he's going to cut through that water to go get his brother and rescue his brother. And he says, blood is thicker than water. Again, it had other iterations going back to even Germany in the 12th century, but that's how it kind of came into English usage. And that's what we need to think about. And as I thought about, you know, we talked about how God, what God's done to adopt us, what it means to be children, and then what it means to be sons. And when I first thought about talking about brotherly conduct, I thought about just saying, hey, let's look at all of the one another passages. But I wanted just to focus on one text. And I think 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, does a really good job of just summing up what it means to act like brothers. And again, I feel even dumb kind of saying that when it's an apostle of Jesus Christ who wrote it, and the Holy Spirit made sure it got put in the Bible. But I want you to think about what this passage says. In the New King James, you get where I can read this. Yeah, exactly. It says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. On the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing." Whenever I do a textual study, I also like to read the New American Standard and the ESV at the same time. So the New American Standard, somebody read that for me.
"Sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing."
All right, somebody else read the ESV.
"Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, bless, for to this you are called, that you may obtain a blessing."
Okay, so one of the things that I wanted to do on this chart, I wanted to highlight the connection. So I went back and I colored the different ideas that are the same. And so you can see in the yellow there, all of you be of one mind, all of you be harmonious, all of you have unity of mind. So there are six different qualities there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Okay, let's get into six groups, either of three or four, and you pick them. And here's what I'm going to do. Jake, you're going to be group one. What is your name again? Justin. You're going to be group two. Group three, four, five, six. And so you all find two or three people to get with you, and you're going to take, so I said, if you're one, you're going to take the first one. You're six, you're going to take the sixth one. You understand? And then I just want you to talk about, what does it mean? Why is it important? How do we develop it? Okay? Have at it. And if you're a counselor, you know, kind of, you know, don't try not to make a team of counselors if you don't have to.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Jay, I'm not adding up your
words. So raise your hand if you're one of the, like, captains. Okay, so that way we can know who needs somebody.
Or you can love brother or five. Yeah, we get his brother. Oh, wait, no. He's like your pastor.
That's how I was saying with the
There's one aspect of your work. It's along the lines of loving our brothers.
I feel like I'm about that much happier than you need.
spend time around. Maybe you want to be around happy people. Maybe they're happy members. We're not happy members. And we can get jealous. We can have that rapper.
So if I've got eight assists and you've got eight three-pointers, I'm cool with that, you know?
And with that, we talked about how to accomplish becoming of one mind, we were looking at Philippians 2, and we were looking at sacrifice, putting others' needs ahead of your own. That's how you're maintaining one mind, mind of Christ.
Absolutely.
Your own needs for the sake of your brother.
Absolutely. Fine job, Dave. All right, who had have compassion for one? You go back there and sit with your group. So y'all pick a spokesman and talk to us about it.
Alright, so we look both at having one mind and being harmonious. They're pretty much the same, but Justin pointed out compassion is literally to feel with, and that's no matter good or bad. You know, if someone's feeling good about an accomplishment, you're not just going to be like, well, that's not really applying to me, or I'm not feeling it, so you're just like, good for you. Or if it's like, they're feeling bad, and you're like, well, I don't really care. You know, that's not being harmonious. And then also,
but are you harmonious? Or are you compassionate?
Compassion, sorry.
Okay.
It was in my head. Okay.
That's all right.
And then we sort of like how to develop that, and I think we all agree having sacrifice. We have to sacrifice our time, sacrifice what we want for the sake of our brothers. I feel like there's one other question.
How do you develop it?
And how do you develop that? I think that the sacrifice.
Yeah, y'all can help him out.
Yeah.
Why is it important?
Yeah, that's.
Okay.
How to develop it? It's a lot like the other ones. With being harmonious, brotherly love, kind-hearted. You just to develop compassion, you need to be developing these other traits. We need to be selfless and humble, and you know, sometimes other people come first. And to be compassionate, you need to be looking to other people. If somebody else is hurting or somebody else is rejoicing, you need to go rejoice and go be hurting with them, because that's what they need, and that's not necessarily what you need.
One of my favorite illustrations is when Jesus sees the leper, and the leper says, if you are willing, you can make me whole. And Mark says, moving with compassion, Jesus healed him. So there you see that compassion is an action to help somebody else's plight. I really like that idea. All right, who has love as brothers?
Us.
All right, so who's going to be your spokesperson?
Hayden.
This is Hayden.
Not Zach.
All right, not Zach.
Okay. All right, so we have love as brothers, or brotherly love. So the Bible does not necessarily define it like explicitly, as far as I know. So we got to find out the expressions of this thing in order to define it. So one of the expressions of brotherly love was expressed by Paul in 2 Corinthians 7:3, where he says, for I said before that you were in our hearts to die together and to live together. So this really shows the power and the extent of the brotherly love that has to go for it to be there. So you gotta live together, like basically know each other a lot, and to be comfortable with each other, as well as loving them so much that you would die for them, just like how Jesus died for us. You want to talk about the Saul and David example?
Sure. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, David was being pursued by Saul because David has been anointed to be king, and Saul didn't like that. So Saul was trying to kill David, but Jonathan was helping him out, even though he was heir to the throne. And in chapter 23, verse 16, it says, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David at Horesh and encouraged him in God. Thus he said to him, do not be afraid, because the hand of Saul my father shall not find you, and you will be king over Israel, and I will be next to you, and Saul my father knows that also. So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed at Horesh while Jonathan went to his house. And so, like, from this example, you can see Jonathan's brotherly love for David, even though he was risking himself, because Saul wasn't very happy with him for helping David in the past. And, yeah, it was just an example of sacrifice from Jonathan helping out David in brotherly love.
So, how do you develop? Or
why do we need this brotherly love, okay. Right? So, I would like to read 1 John 11:2-15. this is a message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So, John is trying to say that without that, there are two choices of relationships, either love or hate. You have to choose one, it's not either or. And if you hate, and if you do not love them, it's like hating them. And if Jesus said if you hate someone, it's like murder in the heart. So that's why we should strive to love people. That we do not be evil, and we do not be like Cain or like murder. So how do we establish or develop this brotherly love for one another? So I guess in Acts, Paul spent a lot of time with a lot of the disciples, and they became really close. So what happened in the adventures in Acts? Well, they had many experiences, and they were confronting each other, teaching one another. It wasn't just all happiness and like all sugar-free. There were, I mean, not all sugar-coated. There was bumps and downhills in that relationship. So we should strive to get to know each other, help each other, teach each other, and do not be afraid to do those things. And have empathy as well.
Excellent. All right, who is tenderhearted?
Got it.
Trying to get.
Indeed.
So we had tenderhearted and or kindhearted right here. And we talk a lot about having empathy on other people and kind of having the ability to put ourselves in other people's shoes and really feel how they feel. One thing I think is interesting about that is like we're all in super unique situations and we can't really know exactly how everybody else feels. But if we're truly being kind-hearted and tender-hearted, we're going to do our very best to really feel for other people and have our emotions being able to be pricked so that we can really feel for other people. And something Brady mentioned was having the closeness with somebody else and sort of like a family member, to where you're willing to kind of put yourself in their shoes and really feel for them. Because like if you see somebody walking down the road, you're not going to have the kind of care for them and really thinking about what they go through if you're not close with them. And it goes kind of back to the brotherly love thing Ken was talking about. We need to have the brotherly love to care enough about them to be kind-hearted and just put ourselves in their shoes. And what I thought was the best example of this is Jesus willing to die for all of us and obviously being kind-hearted and being a perfect example of that. But he also served as someone who was in our shoes, being a human. And I think that's just the ultimate example. So do you guys have anything else you want to add? Alright, awesome.
Andrew, so we need to talk about developing it?
Oh yeah, developing it. Yeah, so developing it, I'm just going to do it from over here. For developing it, we talked about basically just like, if we're going to grow closer to each other, we need to spend more time with each other, care about each other more, and just have a more closeness, kind of like how I said, being with like your family. If you're spending a lot of time with each other, you're going to be a lot easier to be kind-hearted.
Absolutely. All right, next one is be courteous or humble in spirit.
So being humble or courteous is it's like putting yourself at the bottom of the totem pole, my dad would say. You're not the main character in the story. So what's the thing?
Why is it important?
Why is it important? So let's say you have a guy, Jonathan brought this example of, he's really strong, muscle bound, he's got 20/20 vision, but his heart had heart disease. You know, it's not gonna, what's the point of being strong and being a cool guy if your heart doesn't work? So if we have all these things, all these traits, be having one mind, but you're secretly bitter and you think you're better than everybody else, what's the point? You know, it's where at the end of the day, if you're not humble, you know, this can't work. And then how do we develop it? It's more of a mindset. You have to think about where you are in relativity to the universe. So you think you compare to God, like what you do is not going to matter. So if you have that mindset, you know, letting somebody else go before you in line, it doesn't matter. So if it's getting out of our comfort zone and being embarrassed because we get shut down for spreading the gospel, it doesn't matter. You know, it's all about God anyways.
Excellent. All right. Not returning evil for evil.
Yep.
So, not returning evil for evil, or reviling for revilings in the CSV, and not returning evil for evil, or insult for insult. Now, an interesting parallel, I thought, that kind of goes with this is found in Jude 8 and 9. Yet in the same way, these men, talking about the men of Sodom and Gomorrah, like these wicked men, also by dreaming, defile the flesh, reject authority, and revile angelic majesties. But Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord will teach you." So, I don't know what the whole body of Moses thing is about, but we have Michael the archangel, the chiefest of the angels, the righteous angel, against Satan, the lowest of the low, and not even Michael pronounced against him a railing judgment. He put it in the Lord's hand, which is the second part of this, the contrary blessing. Now, it's not exactly perfect, because when we apply this to our lives, we're thinking of brotherly terms. And what is that supposed to look like for us, treating our brothers this way? And that really, that's why it's important, because we're commanded to love our brothers and to consider them before ourselves. And so the way that you can help kind of grow this behavior in yourself is really through humility and grace, and really trying to put them before yourself and to forgive them for whatever they do wrong. Is that it?
We had a connection back to chapter 2, verse 23, where Peter wrote and said, I'm talking about Jesus, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return, he suffered, he did not threaten. But how he did it was but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. And it's like, if you're on the way to the courtroom with someone who's done you wrong, and they're still provoking you and like trying to get you in trouble, then like you don't have to react to that. You don't have to hit them back, because you're like, hey, we're gonna get to the courtroom. The judge is gonna sort this out, because like he's the judge. I'm not the judge, and so that frees us to forgive them and bless them, knowing the judge is gonna take care of it.
Excellent. I thought y'all did an excellent job, especially guys who got up here. Sometimes it's a whole lot more scary to stand here than just to sit in your chair. I wanted really to give some of y'all just an opportunity to maybe overcome that fear just a little bit. I thought y'all did a fine job. You understand how all this is a symphony. This is not a work on one and ignore the other ones, because they're too blended. And so I want you to understand that they all go together. And I would really encourage you to think about putting a lesson together about all of this. And I really like how he says, and you will inherit a blessing, and the very next thing he does, he describes that blessing. Do you want to live a long, good life? He says, this is the way to do it. Do you want God to hear your prayers? Oftentimes we come to this passage, see, God doesn't listen to sinners. But in the context, when he's talking about the evil person, God's not listening to him. He's talking about the guy who doesn't do this in the context. And so if you want God to hear your prayers, this is the brother that you need to be. And the last thing that I really want to say is I really want you to see two things as you look at all of this. The world would describe this man as weak because he's tender-hearted, he's compassionate, he doesn't seek revenge. But this is absolutely the hardest, these are some of the hardest traits to develop, and this is what God says a strong man looks like. And so we need to completely divorce ourselves from what the world says a man is and appreciate what God says a man is. Another thing that I really want us to understand is there's no room for competition in this. We all have to work together for this to work. And so stop being jealous and envious of each other. Be thankful that different people have different talents. You do what you've been given to do. Be happy about it. Help that brother do what he's good at. And let's do good for the glory of God. That's what it's all about. Carl?
There's one thing that I noticed almost every group said in developing this is spending time together. And it's something that we really, at a lot of congregations, we just were woeful at that.
Amen.
The more time we spend together, the more we're going to naturally develop love for each other.
Amen. All right, Lord willing, tomorrow we're going to talk about growing into spiritual fathers. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Simon.